Good day. My name is Carolina, and I will be your conference operator. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Elementia Earnings Conference Call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. There will be a question-and-answer session after the speaker's opening remarks, and instructions will be given at that time. Thank you. I will now turn the call over to Alfredo Reque, Elementia's Investor Relations Officer. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Good day, everyone, and welcome to Elementia's first quarter 2018 earnings conference call. Joining me is our Chief Executive Officer, Fernando Ruiz-Jacques, and our Chief Financial Officer, Juan Francisco Sánchez-Cramer. Please be advised that this call is for investors and analysts only. During this call, we'll be discussing Elementia's performance after the earnings release issued yesterday after the close. If you did not receive the report, it is available on our website and in the investor relations section, or call iAdvise in New York at 212-406-3694. Let me remind you that forward-looking statements may be made during this conference call, and they are based on information that is currently available. Please refer to the earnings release for a more detailed and full disclaimer. Also, figures discussed in Mexican pesos unless otherwise stated. It is now my pleasure to introduce Fernando Ruiz-Jacques, our CEO, who will provide Elementia's strategic overview for the following years. Fernando, please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you, Alfredo, and welcome everyone. I would like to take this opportunity to give you an update on the evolution of our corporate strategy and then allow Juan Francisco to dive into our results. We have made significant progress in the last 18 months, and I think it is important to give you a clear idea of where we are and where we're going. It is a priority for us that our shareholders understand our value proposition for the long term, which is creating a company that delivers building solutions, not just products, in order to influence the construction value chain and improve customer experiences. So please bear with me for a few minutes to take you step by step through our recent accomplishments, our current position, and future steps. So I will begin by taking a step back to 2017. Last year, we made a bold move from being a company with three divisions focused primarily on products towards a more integrated one that delivers products and solutions for both the traditional building as well as to a more industrialized and sustainable building system. This is what we call the Elementia 2.0, and in the near future, we expect to capture additional margin from all stages of the value chain. In our last call, we mentioned that during 2017, we laid the foundation for the continued growth for Elementia, and in 2018, we aim to strengthen our growth path by focusing mainly on six pillars. First, ramping up the capacity expansion at Tula. Two, bringing back giant assets to industry standards. Three, ramping up the new deal we opened in the end of March. Four, starting up Costa Rica's grinding facility. Five, continue to deleverage the company through cash flow generation. And what excites me the most, which is number six, execute the project for Elementia 2.0. So diving into Elementia 2.0, our main goal for 2018 is to test drive this integral technical concept and follow our philosophy of being an agile company, take quick action in fine-tuning the business model. This year has come with many challenges. Our consolidated results for the quarter reflect some of our struggles, but we acknowledge that change and progress doesn't come easily. For instance, our U.S. cement operation had a great start. For instance, we made critical CapEx investments, we normalized operations, we covered clients, and reinforced the entire team. Unfortunately, our financial results for the quarter got shadowed by the effects of a harsher winter and by an unplanned three-week outage in South Carolina facility caused by technical problems during our yearly maintenance process, in which we hired a specialized contractor to do it. Analysis of the root cause will soon clarify the natural questions: why, how, and who. However, the situation for some of our clients secures their volume with other industry players. At this point, we cannot regain the low volume and might see further impacts on the near future. Now, on the upside, this facility is up and running again as of mid-April, thanks to the fast action made by our U.S. team in solving the problem. Nevertheless, we are staying proactive in avoiding these kinds of obstacles in the future, so we implemented a redundancy mechanism consisting of importing cement to the U.S. to ensure supply continuity and reliability to our customers. In fact, we already signed our first contract under this mechanism with our maritime terminal in Southeast USA. We're confident in our U.S. team to recover from this unfortunate incident and that our customers know that they can rely on us in the future. We were on an excellent track when compared to the performance of the industry. Consumption in the Southeast was 10% lower than last year, according to the PCA, the Portland Cement Association. However, our volume came in 8% higher. Our main goal for the U.S. cement operations has always been maximizing profits. In 2017, we focused on integrating Giant into Elementia, and we did it. Our goal for 2018 is to start market share recovery by regaining customer trust through upgrading and supply reliability, consistent product quality, while bringing back the assets to industry state-of-the-art standards. Market outlooks in the U.S. remain positive in terms of volume. The yearly demand and price trend have been growing according to the expected 5% and 3% respectively. As such, we believe 2019 will be the right time to increase market share and set the foundations to start closing the existing price gap between our product and that of the rest of the industry in 2020. We have designated a 3-year capital plan in which 2017 took the bigger bite. Now, moving to the Mexican cement operations, these operations are booming. The cement capacity expansion in Tula was a success in 2017, thanks to the high acceptance of our product in the region and the new stack of rates. 2018 demand is expected to remain strong for the first half of the year, while we foresee a bumpy road for the second half and 2019, mainly due to the presidential elections during the second quarter, which tend to generate a sharp decrease in expenditures in government infrastructure projects and uncertainties related to NAFTA. Nevertheless, we want to maintain our competitive levels high by implementing a contingency plan consisting of cost reductions and developing only those projects essential to maximize profitability. If everything goes according to plan, we believe we can reach full potential at Tula by year end. Remember that we're long-term visionaries. So despite 2019 expectations, we're most excited for what we see in that. I can assure you we are developing plans according to that and expect to give you news on this matter. On another high positive note, the grinding project in Costa Rica is going according to plan, and we expect to launch operations by third quarter 2018. This business model is an important piece of the puzzle as it yields synergies through vertical integration among its cement and building system division. Elementia currently has cement operations in the U.S. and Mexico through several brands, such as Giant Cement, Keystone Cement, Drive Cement, and Cementos Fortaleza. And our mission is to integrate them all with our other products in our portfolio. Now, moving on to the metal product division, first quarter 2018 numbers are a bit weak but please bear in mind that this is most related to an unfavorable comparability effect, as first quarter 2017 reported double-digit record high in the history of Elementia. Nevertheless, we anticipate a more favorable market environment and good growth perspective in terms of volume for the remaining of 2018. Many of our clients' demands have increased, and in addition to the oil and gas trends, which have proven to be directly correlated to our industry, gives us the confidence that recovery will begin a period of recovery during 2018. Also, it is important to mention that the three facilities are almost at full capacity. Our strategy for metal products is based basically on two growth engines. First, focusing on higher value products that reflect our ability to innovate within mature markets, and most importantly, expand EBITDA levels. And second, optimize our costs through a method we call full potential, comprised by two parts working in parallel. One part focuses on optimizing costs in the areas of purchases, logistics, capacity utilization and products, seeking an additional 15% EBITDA within the next 18 to 36 months. The second part, which was internally developed, is in the works of validating operations throughout the three divisions in terms of processes as well as purchase and inventory management. Turning now, finally, to the Building System division, the division's growth and recovery at a consolidated level continues to be supported by the successful results of the go-to-market strategy. However, due to the seasonality effects in the U.S., unfavorable macroeconomic conditions in Latin America, our decision to reduce inventory, which decreased, increased costs, additional expenses derived by staff reduction, the Terrahawk reopening process, and having one of our main competitors resolving its inventory problems and recovering some of its clients, results were down compared to first quarter 2017. Yes, our significant benefits to compare to fourth quarter 2017. Keeping the challenging scenarios in mind and our long-term vision, our strategy for the building system division continues to be set in line with construction systems. We did good progress last year by shifting from current expansion to platforms, which are used aligned to the light vertical construction market. This innovative change comes with a cost. In 2017, we invested a little bit over $20 million and incurred an additional cost derived from reprocessing costs by operations that are not yet 100% stabilized. These costs are reflected on both fourth quarter 2017 and first quarter 18 results. On the upside, we have had high acceptance on flat panels and all products using synthetic fibers. This promising material gives great advantages for both distributors and fiber users. Distributors benefit from its elasticity that translates to less breakage, while consumers benefit from lower costs without having to compromise the aesthetic appearance. In 2018, we want to consolidate our strategy by further strengthening our competitive advantages, and just like we're doing in or other divisions, proactively anticipate challenges. For instance, we want to continue leveraging on innovation and improve the installation phase within the construction process. Our R&D centers have developed a special glue that pragmatically simplifies the installation phase, as it allows having to make less pressure on panels compared to the traditional way of installing panels with screws. Finally, in line with generating EBITDA growth, we are right-sizing the division by 14%. This means 380 people of 2,800 and shifting it over to a more horizontal, direct, and focused structures. We expect savings of more than 150 million pesos on a 12-month basis to help partially offset lower volumes in this division. So to summarize our four main messages I want to take you with. First, we have a clear vision of who we want to become and the roadmap, capabilities, team, infrastructure, and technologies that will take us there. Second, we've built a strong financial basis to support the strategy by staying committed to our financial and capital allocation discipline. Third, we are aware of the fact that the path towards Elementia is a bumpy road. In some divisions, more than others, like building systems. But we have taken action to smooth it out as much as we can. Fourth and finally, we're being proactive by anticipating the possible challenges we might face in 2018, but at the same time, implement preventive measures. With this, I conclude my remarks, and I have turned the call over to Juan Francisco Sánchez Cabrera for further details on our financials. So please, Juan Francisco, go ahead.
Thank you, Fernando. It seems that we are having problems with our connection. So I will kindly ask you to reconnect. We will cut out and reconnect, please.
Thank you. Please stand by. Please stand by. Your program will continue shortly. Please stand by, and thank you for your patience.
Repito todo, güey. No mames, se trabó. No, ya está.
And you may continue.
Thank you. Well, thank you all. Sorry for the inconvenience. Hope you can hear us better now. So I will like Fernando to give a kind of a summary, not to give you more than you need, but we believe that it is worth going back a little bit. So please, Fernando, thank you.
So basically, the four messages I wanted to leave you with, as I was saying before, is that we have a clear vision of who we wanted to become and the roadmap, capabilities, team, infrastructure, and technologies that will take us there. Second, we have built a strong financial basis to support our strategy by staying committed to our financial and capital allocation discipline. Third, we are aware of the fact that the path towards Elementia 2.0 is a bumpy road in some divisions more than others, like building systems, but we have taken actions to smooth it out as much as we can. And finally, we're being proactive by anticipating the possible challenges we might face in 2018, and at the same time, implement preventive measures. So with this, I conclude my remarks, but if you have had problems hearing me what I spoke before, please let us know, and I can repeat my script again, so please let us know. Meanwhile, I turn the call to Juan Francisco Sánchez Cramer for further details on our financials.
Thank you, Fernando. Going straight to financial performance, 2018 started with a third quarter that included continued macroeconomic volatility in several countries in which we operate, and a harsher winter in the U.S. compared to that of 2017. Nevertheless, consolidated revenues posted a growth of 5% to reach 6.9 billion for the quarter, mainly due to our continued efforts to optimize utilization rate at Tula cement plants in Mexico, and our focus on higher value-added products in metal products division, along with higher copper prices, which both posted double-digit growth of 14 and 15% respectively. These results helped offset a 30% decrease in building systems. In terms of EBITDA, this light item posted a slight decline of 3%, reaching 923 million, with an EBITDA margin of 13%, driven by the aforementioned headwinds, a harsher winter in the U.S., macroeconomic volatility in the Andean region, and volatility in the Mexican market due to NAFTA negotiations and the election process. EBITDA was also impacted by changes in internal process. For example, first, as we mentioned, the technological change and its learning curve came with a different cost structure, and first expenses related to right sizing we started in building systems. The second impact comes from our focus on generating cash flow by reducing inventory. We reduced production rates in several facilities that helped us reduce inventories, but reduced the absorption of fixed costs. I would like to emphasize that we are taking all necessary steps to improve our short-term performance while remaining committed to our long-term strategy. And therefore, our growth plan for 2020 EBITDA remains the same. Going further in the detail and on performance on each division. The performance of the Mexican operations for the cement division was once again outstanding. It posted a 39% improvement in revenues and a high 78% in EBITDA, while margin reached 46%. There is no doubt that this continuous growth has been thanks to our visionary strategy of ramping up Tula's capacity expansion since mid-2017. By changing our sack bowl mix and optimizing utilization at the plant. Our great volumes also show the strong acceptance of our high quality product, along with favorable price trends. EBITDA levels benefited from higher operating efficiencies, state-of-the-art technology, and lower energy costs. We are committed to continue implementing these strategies to help us keep a stable EBITDA during the challenges we face in the following quarter. For the U.S. cement operations, revenues reached $778 million during the quarter. As 2018 winter season was much more harsher than the one faced last year, therefore having a greater impact on a year-over-year comparison. Moreover, revenues were also hit by an unplanned halt in our South Carolina facility due to a failure in the grinding process while the contractor was commissioning operations after the yearly maintenance outage. It's also important to highlight that according to PCA, overall consumption in Southeast region decreased around 10% for January because of weather, while our volumes increased 8% in the month, and we believe that was showing the trend of our positive performance in the quarter before this unplanned outage. As we also mentioned, 2018 is the second year out of the three-year plan to bring back assets to industry standards. That is the foundation to have reliable operations and quality to begin regaining our fair market share. This plan includes both CapEx of 80 to 90% million and additional OpEx. As a result, EBITDA for the first quarter 2018 was minus 103 million, while in the same quarter last year it was minus 7. both reflecting the seasonality impact on the business. Moving to metal products, the division posted double-digit growth of 15% in revenues, mainly due to the reference price of copper, that is a 12% increase quarter over quarter. Contrary, EBITDA suffered from the unfavorable effect on inventory valuation, reporting a slowdown of 25% or 18% in dollar basis. As we mentioned in the past, we have certain margin to the copper price in dollar per ton that allow us to transfer commodity volatility to the customers. However, considering the transformation timeframe, this strategy benefits us in times where when copper price goes up and or when the Mexican peso depreciates, an effect we had in the first quarter 2017. However, this quarter, while metal price trends to continue to go up, the Mexican peso appreciated against the US dollar, resulting in an unfavorable effect. Our purpose in 2018 is to recover EBITDA levels by optimizing capacity utilization in both manufacturing and logistics process, as well as by increasing export volumes through our newly expanded capacity for higher value-added products. Finally, the building systems division at a consolidated level was down 13 and 41% in the both revenues and EBITDA. Given that the U.S. operations have become more relevant, when we see in dollars, the variation is 5 and 36% in revenues and EBITDA respectively. Obstacles were present in all regions, from higher competitive levels and harsher winter in the U.S. to political uncertainties in Mexico, Peru, Ecuador, Bolivia, and Colombia, as well as challenging macroeconomic conditions in the Andean region overall. Moreover, EBITDA levels were also shaken by costs derived from changes in the technology we implemented at our facilities and those coming from beginning the learning curve. Also, lower capacity utilization rate focus on lowering inventories affected the overall cost due to lower fixed cost absorption. On the upside, these changes represent a small cost compared to the returns we expect to obtain from shifting our focus towards the flat panels and synthetic fibers from corrugated panels. We will continue to see some of these effects through the rest of the year. However, we expect the impact to be lesser quarter to quarter to the point of reaching stabilization in the near future. A little piece of additional information on the construction trend with light building systems. According to the World Bank, average urban population in the countries we have operations grew 15 times when compared to rural population in 2017. Furthermore, according to the Census Bureau in the US, in 2017, the growth trend for light construction was four times higher than the traditional construction. Before concluding, I would like to highlight that at corporate level, we are taking special initiatives to strengthen our financial position in both short and long term within highly volatile markets. Some of our most important steps taken were balancing our liabilities, assets, and cash flow generation in terms of currency, protecting the company in face of upward trends interest rates. Now more than 70% of the debt is now in fixed rates, and concluding the changing short term for long term. We have clearly defined strategy and seek to maximize all opportunities to continue profitable and responsible growth in the long term. Into 2018, we are paying close attention to our capital allocation based on return over invested capital, keeping a strong balance sheet supported by our financial discipline, and operating efficiencies. Now, I would like to return the call to Fernando for final remarks.
So thank you, Juan Francisco. And before we take your questions, I just would like to make sure you understand correctly where we're standing and where we're heading. So I would like to summarize what you should expect for the rest of this critical year. So let me start with the U.S. cement. We strongly believe we are on the right track for improvement. Today, our team is complete. We finished phase one of out of 3 year plan. We deployed our planned CapEx budget of $30 million, and our customers' relations have improved dramatically. In building systems, we have solid expectations for the second half of the year. In the U.S., we are past the seasonably low period of winter. The Indiana is now operating below break-even, and it is currently in the ramp-up stage, but this will begin to revert. Our main competitor has recovered part of its volume and has been extremely aggressive. There have been low consumption levels in the U.S., which is affecting Central America and Mexico. Housing starts have declined between December and February and beginning to rebound in March, but overall above the prior year. And our go-to-market strategy is working, and we have rebuilt our team. Going to building systems Latin America, in Mexico, we, as all other companies, are seeing a period of instability from NAFTA and the elections. Government spending is practically non-existent for now, so we're working to reduce our dependence on any kind of government projects. The good news is that our sales network has grown more than 35% versus 2017 and more than 70% versus 2016. So it has not been enough to offset the government spending, but we're on the right track. And moving to the Andean region, the economic recession and political instability in Colombia, Ecuador, Bolivia, and Peru is translating in lower purchasing power and weaker consumption levels. And finally, we're migrating from corrugated sheets to flat panels. So what is our action plan? Our action plan is due to high inventory levels, and in order to reduce our working capital, we decided to halt production, which raised our production cost due to a lower absorption of fixed costs. We're conducting a right sizing through the reduction of about more or less 16% of our headcount in Latin America. This implies, of course, some restructuring costs. And also we are rationalizing capacity in Latin America, which implies the closing of 3 plants in the region. The annualized savings we expect from these two action plans is estimated about 150 million pesos. The second quarter will be a period of transition with costs and expenses related to these restructures and capacity rationalization. And we're taking this fundamental decision as part of a plan to recover our growth track beginning in the third quarter 2018. So lastly, we're conducting a rational analysis to determine which businesses are a strategic fit, which are an economic fit, in order to identify what are our core operations and non-core to adjust our plans accordingly. So that concludes our comments. So now we're happy to take your questions.
And if you would like to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touch-tone phone. You may remove yourself from the queue at any time by pressing the pound key. Once again, that's star and one to ask a question. And your first question comes from Mauricio Sedna with UBS. Your line is open.
Hi, good morning, and thanks for taking my questions. Apologies, wasn't able to connect to the call earlier, but just wanted to ask on Mexico, well, on both of the cement businesses. First, on Mexico, you know, pretty impressive the volume increase you delivered. So, I mean, I was just wondering, I guess we could expect another strong print for the second quarter and maybe much more moderate in the second half as you complete like the ramp up of the plant, of the capacity expansion. So just wanted to confirm that. And also, I don't know if you could share the pricing you've done, if you did any in the first quarter, and if not, if you're planning to do so in the second quarter. And just on the U.S., if, I hear, you know, you had the plan, the outage of the non-planned outage of South Carolina. So just wanted to understand, you know, as it continued throughout most of April, how much impact could we actually expect in the operations on the performance of the in the second quarter for because of this outage?
Thank you, Mauricio. Going first to cement in Mexico, in the first quarter we did, or the industry as overall, they had a price increase that we show in our figures also. We are kind of hoping to have another price increase in the second quarter, but it hasn't happened yet. As you well pointed out, if it doesn't happen within the second quarter, we believe it will be harder to see it in the rest of the year. Now, in terms of volumes, the straight answer is yes, we are hoping or seeing strong demand for our products in the second quarter also, but in a comparison basis, the figures will be less, let's say, aggressive in the second half, because we started the full operation of the expansion in the third quarter last year. Now, going to the U.S., as we mentioned, the unplanned halt was from March 26 throughout April 13. So operations have been reestablished. Nevertheless, we believe that it might take time to recover all the affected accounts. And so we are expecting a slow but steady volume recovery. And therefore, we are expecting some additional impact, at least in the second quarter. It will have, or it, we believe that it will be smoother from the third quarter and on, but it might still have some impact for the rest of the year.
Okay. I mean, just to have an idea, like how much of your U.S. volumes does that plant represent in terms of like of the volumes that you service or you provide there?
This facility accounts for roughly 40% of our total U.S. capacity, and was the one that was most affected because of the winter. The other two facilities were more on kind of the steady seasonality, but in the southern part of the country, or the East Coast in particular, there was a much harsher winter than normal. So we have double impact in this region because of it. Last week, there was still snow in this region. A good point, as we tried to show off, is that before this, our volumes were growing while the industry, at least in January, showed a decline in consumption because of winter. So the message is we were on the right track, and we believe that we can recover that track by year end.
Got it. Thank you. And just very lastly on what you just stated on the restructuring, because I didn't hear well, is that going on across all the divisions, and like which period should we see the effects, you know, of restructuring expenses on the P&L?
Sure. I mean, the restructure is mainly focusing on building systems. We acknowledge that we have had some problems in the division coming from the change on both the strategy moving from flat panels to corrugated, from corrugated panels to flat panels that is aligned to our strategy of light building systems. And also this comes along with a change in technology. So we have been hit by additional costs in the change of technology and the learning curve, but also from let's say outside conditions that are affecting our markets. Aligned to this, we are right-sizing the operations in LATAM, and also we are right-sizing or rationalizing the capacity, the installed capacity. This means that we are reducing the headcount on roughly 16% on the region, and also we are idling some 4 facilities in the region. To your specific question, we will have impact, or we already have some impacts on the right sizing in the first quarter, and we'll have additional impacts in the second, and most of the impact of the capacity rationalization will come in the second quarter. Now, what I would like to highlight is that from these two actions, we are expecting savings of more than 150 million in a yearly basis. That will begin to That will begin to be seen in the third quarter this year.
Great. Got it. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you.
And your next question comes from Vanessa Quiroga with Credit Suisse. Your line is open.
Hi. Thank you for the call. My first question is regarding several follow-ups on the U.S. cement. Can you clarify that those accounts that you lost, how much they represent of total sales? And also, if you can update your CapEx estimates for the U.S. division, the U.S. cement division, please.
Hi, Vanessa. Thank you for the question. What we can tell you is that roughly 60% of the total accounts of the Southeast region were affected because of this outage. And we have already regained some of them, of those. But given that the customers were needing supply, we even helped them to find other sources of cement. And they have gone, of course, with volume from competitors or other players. That, by the way, we're playing a very fair game, we must say that. So it will take time to recover all those accounts, because some of them did agreements for more than a quarter. To your second question, CapEx or planned CapEx for the U.S. cement in this year is around $25 million for the full year. So we keep on with the three-year plan that we established.
$25 million CapEx for the full year?
Yeah, that is correct.
Okay, okay. And regarding U.S. systems, Alura, I think you mentioned a loss of market share. Can you give us some color on what is happening in the competitive landscape in the U.S. building systems?
Sure. I mean, first of all, the U.S. building systems was affected also by weather, by the winter, harsher winter. Second, it was also affected because of the recovery of a competitor that recovered some of their lost accounts. We managed to keep some of those too, and we believe that we will continue strengthening our position. The good news about this is many players that until last year hasn't been with us has already seen what we can do and has already seen that we can be a very good option to supply. So we believe that the volumes will balance further as the year comes by. It is also important to highlight that EBITDA generation was affected because of the startup of the Indiana facility. It is not running yet at break-even point, so it is costing. We believe that we are on the right track, and we believe that we will get to this break-even point in the coming months.
And just to expand on Juan Francisco's comment, Vanessa, it is important for you to understand that last year, the first quarter, the first thing, it was not a white Christmas. So volumes were, I mean, construction went completely different from this year. I mean, there was a lot of construction last year. And on the other hand, our main competitor had productive problems last year. So we took many of those accounts, you know, and once they reestablished their operations, many of the, because they had contracts, many of those distributors went back to them. So that's more or less what has happened.
Okay, and regarding, so on market share there, what's your estimate of market share right now? What's the estimated market share that you have in U.S.?
We are, I mean, the latest figure will be that of 2017. As you know, the Bureau of Census takes some 2 months to publish data in the U.S., so anything that we might say now is up to January. And up to January, our market share was about 11%.
Okay, okay. And on the in Latin America building systems, what we are explaining about the new technology, the new product that you have, the cost structure that of this product, is that, I mean, would you expect a lower margin from this new product, or is it the impact on the cost structure is just temporary?
No, today we have an impact in the cost structure. Today it's 12% higher. No, it's costing us. We are on the learning curve, and we expect to be improving this cost in the near future. I mean, we're very happy about how fast we have transitioned to this new technology. But today, the cost increase is 12%. We expect, as I told you, to improve this, but at the end of the day, I think it will cost a bit more than used to cost the former technology. So as Juan Francisco was saying formerly, we are switching the technology due to from this movement from corrugated panels, which is basically for roofing, to panels, no, which is basically for lightweight building solutions, no, lightweight building systems, where we tremendously see the industry is going. As you know, basically the population in the world is growing a lot. People are moving from rural areas to urban areas, so construction is going up. So this industry will grow dramatically. So I think we're taking the correct decisions. It's hurting now. Yes, it's hurting, but we're here for the long term. So we are convinced that is the correct decision, and we're on our way there.
Okay. Are the competitors in the lightweight panels industry different from the corrugated product?
Well, it's two different markets, Vanessa. The corrugated products is for roofing, as I told you, so the competitors are very different from the ones that we have in roofing, that the ones that we have in the panels, in the flat panels. So it's completely another industry where we're making like a, I mean, we will keep on selling, of course, in this corrugated panels industry, no, where we also implemented this new technology, because this new technology gives a better flexibility to the end product, so it has less breakage. So the distribution network is very happy because they can manipulate it better. So it's completely two different markets. So basically what we're doing is we will keep on serving that market, which will not grow a lot. So if you have this vertical construction, each time there will be less roofing, if you want to call it like that. So that is why we're taking this decision on moving to this new market, which we see it has a tremendous future.
Okay, thank you.
If you want me to be more specific, Vanessa, for instance, in the roofing, we compete against galvanized products or plastic products or cardboard products. And in the lightweight building systems, we compete against cement panels, we compete against drywalls, etc.
Okay, gypsum. Okay, yeah, that's helpful.
Okay.
Okay, that's helpful, yeah.
And your next question comes from Cecilia Jimenez with Santander. Your line is open. And Cecilia, your line is open.
She's not there, so if you want to move on to the next question then.
And your next question comes from Hernan Kisluk with MetLife. Your line is open.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my question. It's relating to the working capital, on which you have done a great job this quarter. And I'm wondering if you could provide more color, if there is more room to go regarding working capital reduction and where it would come from.
Sure. Thank you, Hernan, for your question. Yes, there is further opportunities regarding working capital, mainly in inventories. And let me discuss a little bit further on this. For the technology change that we did in the in building systems, we created additional inventories, which now we are depleting. Once that we complete that depletion, and once that we complete the learning curve on the new technology, inventories will go down even further. The decision that we took is protect our customers and protect the market, and now we are going in the right direction, and you will be seeing further improvement there. We are not only focusing on inventories for building systems, but all divisions. Inventories in metal products will also come down, and you will be seeing it. Cement in the U.S. Also was higher on inventories because of the seasonality within the year. So, and because we create inventories in order to have products available for the market during the yearly maintenance outage, they will come down also. And also, it is important to highlight that by the end of last year, we begin implementing sales and operations planning for all our operations, and we are now much more focused on aligning consumption with production, and we are also working deeply with big data analysis, and the outcome will continue to be seen in this regard also.
Okay, thank you very much, Juan Francisco.
Thank you, ma'am.
And your next question comes from Alejandro Salinas with Santander. Your line is open.
I think you skipped Eduardo Altamirán. Okay, sorry.
Hi, this is Cecilia, actually, from Santander. My line was cut off. I have a question regarding, I have several questions, but the first one would be on building materials. The 40% EBITDA contraction year-on-year, I would like to see if you can share with us the breakdown among the factors you said impacted the division. Particularly, I would like to know how much of that comes from South America, how much of that comes from the U.S., and if you can tell us how much of that is actually related to the competition, the tougher competitive environment in the U.S. or your competitor gaining market share again. So if you can break down that EBITDA loss from the parts that actually were impacting you, that would be my first question. Thanks.
Thank you, Cecilia. I'm glad that you can reestablish your line.
Yes.
So the breakdown on the impact on the EBITDA, what I can tell you is revenues for building systems are every day larger coming from the U.S. The U.S. is taking more relevance within the division, And that is the reason that we started just this January the Indiana facility. We see growing trends in the U.S., while in general in LATAM, mostly in the Andean region, we are seeing contraction on the market. And that is why we are implementing this capacity rationalization. Going to EBITDA, most of the impact is coming from the Andean region, and that comes from both market contraction, the technology change, the kind of capacity utilization slowdown to reduce inventories that affected fixed costs, and also related to the right sizing that we are doing. So most of the impact comes from the Andean region and in general from LATAM operation. Now to your question on market dynamics in the U.S. As we mentioned, one of the other players has some issues, operational issues in 2017, and they come out from that in late 17, and they have been fighting hard to recover those accounts. They have managed to recover some of them. We have managed to keep some of them, but still the winter played against both of us. What I would like to stress out also is before this chance, these customers hadn't had the chance to do business with us, and this has opened additional doors for the long run. We believe that we have proven that we can be a reliable supplier with higher customer service, and we believe that those will be the key strengths to continue gaining customers and market share.
Thanks, Juan Francisco. My second question could be related to the metal divisions. We've seen over the past four quarters the division with posting EBITDA contractions of roughly 20%. Although you have improved on the pricing side and also small volume contraction. So I'd like to better understand the cost structure that you have in this division, which is actually going to be the future for 2018 in this regard. Are you expecting to have a smaller division going forward or representing by metals, or are you actually planning to see some recovery in this part as well? In my opinion, it was something that it was a very stable division, but we have actually seen material contractions over the past 12 months. So that's my second question. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Ceci. We had a problem trying to understand your question, but let me try to answer it. And if we miss something, please let us know. So the first thing you have to bear in mind is that the result that we had in this division last year, the first quarter last year, was the best result that this division had in 10 years. No, so it was an unusual first quarter last year. No, the exchange rate, the cost of metals, it helped us a lot. So what I can tell you today is that today our operations are practically at a full capacity. Today, maybe the mix of products that we had on the first quarter maybe were not as good also as last year's first quarter. But as I'm telling you, we're basically running at full capacity, and some very interesting products are doing very well. For instance, the condenser tubing, which is basically targeted for the oil and gas industry, have been improving a lot. When the oil barrel hits more than 62 US dollars per barrel, they start to ask for a lot of this product, which has great differentials. So I think what I can tell you is that as you say, it's a very stable division, and during the second quarter you will see that.
No, so I think we're on the right track, only that the comparison that we had versus last year is very unfavorable because we had a record high first quarter last year.
I'm going a little bit deeper into that. If you remember, in the first quarter last year, we mentioned that we have a benefit because changes or fluctuation in copper and FX rates both align and give us some benefits in the inventory valuation. This year, that doesn't happen.
Thanks, Juan and Fernando. Finally, if I may, regarding pricing strategy in Mexico, do you think it's feasible to reach 4% price increase this year, 4% to 5% price increase, or do you see downside risk considering the more competitive environment in cement Mexico? That would be my third question. Thanks.
Awesome.
Sure, Ceci. I mean, we believe that the second half of the year will be tougher, or it is cloudier, to put it in a right way. So we believe that it is easier to think on a second price increase on the year in this second quarter than to think about that in the second half. Now, it is important also to highlight that I mean, given that we have low market share in Mexico, we do not set the prices. As we mentioned, we follow, and we are happy to follow, but we don't have the strength yet to set pricing.
And just to expand on that, Ceci, and I'm sure you're aware of that, I mean, the market dynamics today in Mexico, what we're seeing, it's, I mean, the private building industry has done great, I mean, for the last years. But today, we're seeing that they are a bit nervous about the elections, about the NAFTA. So I don't think, I mean, consumption might stay, but I personally, I don't think it will grow in the second semester, as Juan Francisco is saying. So having said that, I agree with Juan Francisco with the pricing. I don't see an increase in pricing in the second semester.
And this is pretty much in line with the statistics in an election year.
Thank you. That's very helpful. Thanks.
And your next question comes from Eduardo Altamirano with HSBC. Your line is open.
Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen, for taking my question. I just want to make sure that I understood you correctly when you said that you were looking at recovering growth in Q3, maybe the second half of this year, and that you're taking a look at which businesses are core, non-core fit. Would that mean that you would engage in any sort of transactions where you might get out of certain verticals, you divest of any certain non-core, let's say, components of your businesses? Just if you could provide some more color there to understand what you're looking at.
Sure. I mean, so far we've been, let's say, growing through M&A strongly. Our growth or historical growth has been or has come from both organic and inorganic growth. What we are doing now is analyzing which of these businesses are aligned to this growing strategy and aligned to the light building systems strategy that we are following, and therefore it might come some divestments. So far, I mean, at this point, we cannot, of course, give you more color on that, but what we'd like to stress is we are analyzing business by business, country by country, location by location.
But what is important to highlight is we are targeted in the traditional building system, which is cement, and in the lightweight building systems, which is this term that we're giving to the building system division.
Perfect. Thank you. You read my mind. I appreciate that.
Sure.
Thank you.
And as a reminder, it is star and one to ask a question. And there are no further questions at this time. I would like to turn the program back to Mr. Rees Jacq for any closing remarks.
Thank you. Thank you, operator. And I apologize again for the inconvenience caused by the technology. And thank you all for your continued interest in Elementia. So our team remains available for any further questions you might have. And have a nice rest of the day. Thank you very much.
Thank you.